All right, we're going to change direction a little bit again. We've spoken to this lady before. She's a very capable office manager down at the 1812 Theatre Company, which I often talk to you about, having been to quite a number of shows there. But also, she, as a lot of these people, she directs and acts and all this sorts of things. But at the moment, she's directing a show down at the Basin Theatre, and Pip will give you the where it is and how to book some tickets. But welcome, first of all, Pip. How are you?
Oh, thanks, Alan. Hi, how are you? I'm very well, keeping warm, trying to keep warm.
You've got to, don't you? And, of course, where you live, it'd be pretty cold these nights too, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, it gets pretty cold up near the hills, yes.
Well, I can see up here on Friday night to Saturday, the low was going to be minus one. Gee, that's getting cold. Anyway.
That's getting cold.
We made a trip up last Saturday night to the Basin Theatre to see a show that Pip's production company has put on. It's called The War of the Worlds. Now, I saw this once before, and there's a couple of things I want to say before I talk to Pip about it. First of all, if anybody's interested in the old-time radio serials, it shows you how they came up with some of their sound effects. I mean, they didn't have record supply and all that for wind and all that, so it's terrific from that point of view. And also, Pip, it was a true story, isn't it?
Yes. Way back in 1938, Orson Welles did this radio play over the air. Yep. And it's funny because right at the beginning they say this is a radio play written by Orson Welles and, you know, we take you to the studio at CBS, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people didn't hear that. You know, they tuned in slightly after that. So they tuned in while the radio play was on, and they could hear this guy saying, "I'm at the mill, and I can see this flying saucer, and oh my God, it's opening up, and blah blah blah." And there's all these people screaming in the background, and noises coming from this so-called Martian ship. But of course, it was all. But people thought it was true, and it just caused a massive chaos. It was just people trying to get out of the city, people trying to get into the city, going up to the hills, getting away. It caused massive hysteria. It was terrible. And the guys in the studio had no idea this was happening. You know, they just continued on with this radio play. And it wasn't till they could see policemen starting to arrive up in the sound box, you know, behind the glass window. Yep. And there's always going on, you know, and at the end of it all, of course, they went and talked to the police and the police were not happy.
Now, I'm not going to give the final bit away because I thought it was a bit of an accident, but we won't tell them how it happened. That'll kill the end of it. But I must admit, I was a bit surprised at the ending when I saw it the first time. I honestly thought the whole thing was a bit of an accident. But if you go and see this show, you'll find out a bit more about how it happened and why it happened. Pip, you've put this play on at a couple of spots, haven't you?
Yes, it was so successful at the 1812 Theatre that another company asked us to bring it to them, which we did. And that was successful as well, so we finally took it somewhere else. And the Basin have been asking us for a few years, since I think 2022, to put it on over there. But of course, to try and get the same cast together, it's
not easy.
They're all going in their own directions and being on stage in other productions. But we got it. We got it together, and we're all together again for this final.
This is the final shot. So if people want to see it, they need to go. Pip, I believe that you all but one, you got them. I know one, unfortunately, Malcolm died. But all the rest of them, you got the same crew back?
Yes. Even Tony Clayton, who is new to us, he's not really new to us. He's taken Malcolm's role, obviously, because Malcolm passed away. But when we were doing it the very first time, Malcolm had some surgery on his eyes. And so he took some time away from the play, and Tony Clayton stepped in. So Tony knows the other guys and he knows the role. So he jumped at it when I said, "Do you want to take it on again?" So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Pip, look, well, I know it's only got about another week to go. Is that right? That people need to get in pretty quick?
That's right. We're on Thursday again and we finish on Sunday. So we've got Thursday, Friday. We've got two performances on Saturday, which is a matinee and an evening.
Yep.
And then on the Sunday, we finish with a matinee.
Pip, just on another note, before we get back into talking about the War of the Worlds, what have you personally got coming up in the future, whether it be at the 1812 or what other theatres?
I go straight down to Malvern in a couple of months to start rehearsing their last season, which is A Perfect Wedding. It's a comedy farce.
That sounds terrific. Down in yeah. I must look that up. In Malvern, is it?
Yes.
I must have a look at that.
It's a lovely little theatre. It's a converted church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just one other quick thing too. We should mention 1812. They've just had a very successful season and we've got something come up in a couple of months down there too, isn't there?
Yeah, we've got, the youth group are on this week. Next week. And then we're in rehearsal already for Whom I'm Darling, which is a comedy.
That should be a good show, that.
Yeah, sure.
Righto, Pip. Why should people come and see The War of the Worlds, apart from being a good show?
Why should they come?
Yep.
Ooh, lots of reasons. It's so different. It's different to any other play because it's a radio play. We make all the sounds ourselves.
I reckon that's terrific to see those.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And also, it's kind of weird because if you close your eyes, you can really imagine it, what's happening.
Yep.
Just by listening. But, of course, if you do that, you'll see, you'll miss what's going on stage too.
Pip, when you, how long did it take you, like, because we know this is your own production company, how long does it take you from the time you decide, first of all, let me ask you, why did you want to do War of the Worlds? What made you chase it?
I've always loved anything to do with War of the Worlds, the movie, the soundtrack, the LP, the series on TV. If there's one, I'll watch it. You know, it's just something really fascinating. And it was really a fluke, actually, that I just came across this script while I was just Googling scripts. Like, you know, I need to find a script from somewhere. And I just came across it, thought, oh, there's a War of the Worlds script.
Yep.
And, of course, I bought it and it was the radio play and I just thought, I've got to do this, have to do this. So that's how I got hold of it.
And, of course, when you're doing it as a radio program as you are, then I guess there's not a lot of adaption, isn't it? You don't have to adapt it a lot. I mean, the show's the show.
That's right. It is what it is. The thing that I found was because it's a radio play and the script is just straightforward, you know, the guys just come up to the microphone and speak their words and they all play different characters. They're all several different people.
they've all got different
ways of saying things and, you know, really strong American or, you know, it's quite fascinating to watch them all change their accent and the way they speak. But I didn't want it just that, coming up to the microphone. You know, I wanted the audience to be entertained. And so when you watch it, you can actually see the different characters come through. Like, you know, you've got Liam who loves the music whenever we put the music on, you know. Oh, we'll take him out to the Meribium Room where, you know, the big band is playing, blah, blah, blah.
He has such an expressionate face too, doesn't he? Oh, he's terrific.
And he loves his music, so he's sort of doing the cha-cha-cha on stage, you know, little things like that. And then you've got Tim who's a bit grumpy and then you've got Orson Welles who is Michael Fenimore has really studied Orson Welles, the way he orchestrates everybody, you know, and his arms are up in the air, just like you see in photos of him, you know, like, right, the music knows on now and you need to come up to the microphone now, and his arms are flying around, you know, yes, you.
And I guess they did, that's how they did the radio programs, didn't they?
Yes, exactly. You can see it in the photos. I've got some photos in the foyer for people and some information too about the characters, the actual people that did the radio play. So there's a little bit of background on them. I'm saying something about also the, by a fluke, I decided to have a female in my cast because I thought we need a bit of, you know, female personality.
Was there no female in the original play? Like,
No. It's all men in the script. But, and I'm so glad I did, because when I did some background research, I found that the first lady to ever do sound for radio plays was this lady called Nola. Oh, I can't think of her surname. But so I was on the right track. So this woman, she was the first woman to actually do radio plays and do all the sounds for it. It was quite fascinating. So I've got some information about her up on the board. And, yeah, it's
Pip, how difficult is it to assemble a group that's going to meld? I mean, do all actors meld, or do you have to sort of keep looking for ones that will just meld into each other?
No, that's a tricky one, because you have auditions.
Yep.
You pick and choose who you want, and then you hope that they all get on backstage.
Oh,
right. That not always happens. But funnily enough, this lot, they're very clicky. Because we've done it, you know, a few times together now. But they see each other after hours, and they go to other plays together, and so they do a lot of socialising. It's lovely to see that, you know, and I think it shows on stage too, actually, that, you know, they are all comfortable with each other.
There doesn't seem to be any sort of anything that would make you think otherwise, is there?
No, not at all. So it's a bit of a risk when you do cast for a play, but I think I've always been lucky, actually. I've always had casts that get on really well together.
Oh, that's true. Because, let's be honest, actors have got egos, otherwise they wouldn't. You wouldn't be on the stage.
That's true. I must admit, I have been in a play with a couple of actors with egos, and it spoiled the season, actually.
It probably does too. Pip, just briefly, because we're starting to run out of time, and I want to give people the opportunity to be able to buy. And I can highly recommend the show. I really enjoyed it. I've been seen it twice. I wouldn't have gone the second time. I very rarely go and see a show a second time, but I certainly did. Pip, what made you... I don't want to say all those years ago, that makes you sound old. Those years ago, decide to get involved with the theatre.
Oh, that's down to Mum and Dad. Yes, back home in Nottingham, they were members of the Nottingham Lace Market Theatre. It was a gorgeous little theatre. I believe it's still there. I think it's still going. And we used to go along and do front of house and help set build and watch the plays. And, so it stems from that. And then when we moved to Melbourne, my husband and I, Robin, we happened to move right near the 1812 Theatre. Bingo.
So did you have to drag Robin in, or was he an equal participant that he wanted to get involved as much as you?
He was happy watching plays, but then when I did get involved, he sort of was looking at lights more than what's happening on stage.
Yep.
And so he ended up in the bio box where Frank Donohue showed him the ropes, so to speak. Mm. And he's never looked back. He loves the lighting system. He loves the sound system.
And he's won a number of awards, hasn't he?
Oh, he's won lots of awards, and he's quite sought after from other companies because they know they'll get a good lighting rig from him. Yes,
Pip, when you say that, you know, your parents were involved, you'd notice like there'd be a lot different now putting on a play, wouldn't it? I mean, back in those days, was it just a bare stage? Or did they have a whole, like... You get some very intricate sets, not War of the Worlds, because you don't need much. But back in those days, of your mum and dad, was there a lot of scenery compared to today, or was it different?
I think in those days it was a very cliquey group within that theatre company that I was in, and there was a large number of volunteers. I mean, in those days, you know, the when was that, the 70s, there wasn't a lot of other entertaining things happening with, you know. So it was a large group, and it was only a tiny stage, but they were able to set build. And also, though, because it was an intimate group, you'd see the same actors on stage. There was none of this moving across to another theatre company like we do now.
Wasn't there?
It was all within the group, the actors and the set builders, and yeah. Whereas now everybody moves around, you know,
go to
Williamstown, or if there's a role on stage somewhere in the sticks, they'll go to it if they want it. Yeah.
Pip, we're fast running out of time. The 1 o'clock news is going to be knocking on the door soon.
Yep.
When's it on? And the times, and how are they going to buy tickets, please?
Okay, so it's on Thursday this week, the 19th, Friday the 20th, Saturday 21st, Sunday the 22nd, and the phone number you will need is 0494-065-006.
So it's 0494-065-006.
That's correct.
And
yes.
The Basin Theatre is where? Obviously in the Basin.
It's in Doongala Road in the Basin.
Yep.
Plenty of parking, easy accessible into the foyer and into the auditorium, no steps at all. So, you know, walkers and wheelchairs are welcome. Very easy to get to.
And they do have a website. It's a 3 W's, The Basin Theatre, all one word, .au. That's www.thebasintheatre.au. Give them a ring. Look, you won't be sorry. You went to see it, let me tell you. 0494-065-006. Pip, I hope it's a real success. People need to book pretty quick because you've only got Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And there was a matinee on the Saturday and Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2 o'clock matinee, Saturday and Sunday.
And there's a Saturday night evening, one. Sorry.
Yeah, the evening performances, Thursday, Friday and Saturday nights are 8 o'clock.
Right on the dot. Pip will lock the door and that'll be the end of you.
I will. I have to get those guys in because Orson starts that radio play at 8 o'clock and there's a clock on stage.
Well, I've got to say they're about the same up here too, Pip. We start right on the dot.
No, okay.
Look, thanks for your time, Pip, and I hope it's a real success. And look, do yourself a favour, even if you go along to see how they used to do the old radio programs. A great effort. Thanks, Pip, and I'll look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you. Really loved talking to you. Thank you.
Pip. Bye.